So, we are continuing on with our patterns of life patterns of gospel sharers, disciple makers. And, you know, there's a little bit of, there's tension here with me of, you know, we pull this one piece out of the puzzle. So there's this picture of what it means to go and make disciples. And we're going to pull one little piece out of the puzzle, and we examine it, and we look at it, and we look at some verses, and we talk about it. Now, it's a dangerous thing. It's a necessary thing, but I want you to be aware it's a dangerous thing, because these things are not isolated. They don't stand on their own. They fit together into the big picture. And so what we talk about today fits into the big picture. We're talking about partnerships and co-laboring. That fits into the big picture of going and making disciples, of sharing the gospel and your life as well. So keep that in the back of your mind as we go through this. God is on a mission. And it is plain. Open your Bible and read it. God is on a mission. And He has called you to join Him in that mission. There can be no doubt about it. If you're on your own mission still, you may not feel like it. You may not be aware of it. But you are off track. You're off track. If you're not on God's mission, if you hadn't with your whole heart taking up the cause of Christ in this world, then you're missing the boat. You're on the wrong path. You're on your own trail. You're headed towards your own goals, not God's goals. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you going where you're going? It's got to be God's mission. If you're a believer, if you're a follower of Christ, this is not for those that are not followers of Christ. We can't ask them to do this. Certainly not. But if you are claiming the name of Christ, then this is a must. It's a command to you to go and make disciples. This is what you're called to do. This is your mission in life. And so, whose mission are you on? Prove it. Prove it. Whose mission are you on? Jesus said, if you have faith, you will do what I have been doing. You'll do what I've been doing if you have faith. So, are you doing what Jesus was doing? So, what we've been doing here is try to identify. What does that look like? So we've been taking one piece of the puzzle a week, and we're going to put this, hopefully there'll be that mosaic where we can get the whole big picture by the time we're done. But we take one piece. Now what we would look for and what we want to see is obedience. These things do you no good if you don't obey them. So we look for response. So we talk about conversation. It's expected that you respond and you begin to practice these things. There is some level of skill here. There's a learning process, a growth, and you have to get started and just take a step out there and just start doing what the Word says. So I'm going to review those really quickly with you and go through. It's not too late to catch up. And here's an important thing. If you've missed any of these sessions, then go back and get them because you're missing a chunk of information that's necessary to do what God has called you to do. So we're going to look at another one today, and where we've been so far is life patterns of the followers of Christ. Now, we've also looked at principles, a little separate deal. We review these principles. We're not going to go back into those today, but there are certain principles of gospel sharing. We'll go back to those, but right now we're on the life patterns. Life patterns of followers of Christ, gospel sharers, and disciple makers. Taking small initiatives. Those things of paying attention when you meet somebody. Learn their name, look in their eye, have some concern and some care for them. Little things, taking initiative. Praying and responding as God leads. It's not every single person you meet that you're going to invest your life in. It's not every single person. So, you pray, you ask the direction of God, you consult with others. You go where there's an opening. Sometimes it doesn't seem to be, but God will lead. So, we pray, and when we wrap this up, we're going to go back to prayer. We're going to talk about that again. So pray and respond as godly, serving others with resurrection power. That we learn how to serve others. Put others' needs ahead of our own. Hospitality, open hearts, open lives, open homes. Jesus was hospitable. God is hospitable. We looked at that word. It means a love of strangers. Agape of strangers. And it doesn't just apply to strangers, but you see the point there. Hospitality, open lives. Jesus said, come and see. Who are you? Who are you, Master? Come and see. Come live with me for a day and see who I am. That open lives, open heart. Then last week, we talked about conversation. And you remember a part of that? You remember that we used the example from Lori not long after we were married, and the young lady that moved into our home, and that song from Steve Camp, "Don't tell them Jesus loves them till you're ready to love them too." And that idea of we can't fake interest in someone else. We can't pretend like we care about it. That just does not work. Don't even try that. Don't pretend like you're interested in what someone's saying. Be interested. How do you do that? Well, if you are sharing the love of Christ for other people, if you have that submitted to Him, walking in the Spirit, abiding kind of relationship with Jesus, you'll have His love for others. You really will be interested. And people will see that. It does something to another person to be loved by someone. Now, they're used to maybe being loved at times by their family, their spouse, or their close friends, but someone from the outside that genuinely loves it. You see, people intuitively, they pick up on these things. You can't fake it. So, we talked about conversation, that you're not just waiting to talk, you're actually listening. And you're interested, not faking interest, not pretending. You're actually interested in what someone is saying. The doors to the soul, this will open. It does. It opens up doors when there is real love. And you really are interested and you really are listening. And it doesn't matter. My experience in making disciples with men is men that it's, you know how we are. We have some of us have a little bit of that gruff exterior. And I get carried away with the bantering thing with guys. You know, we get in a group and we start bantering and I join right in. But what I have noticed time and time again, when I have loved a man with the love of Christ, that gets his attention. It gets his attention. But you can't fake that. It's got to be real. It gets his attention because it is real. And it's different. Somebody cares about me. Somebody cares about me. They don't want to compete with me or put me down or ridicule. They care. That's the love of Christ. So those are the things. You see, I've dumped the whole load, the truckload on you there, but you have to start obeying piece by piece. Start obeying as we give out this information, because we are determined. We are determined. We've set our face towards God to be a disciple-making church, no matter the cost. That is what we're going to be. If you don't want to be that, and you are a believer, if you're not a believer, please stay. If you are a believer, and that's not what you don't, please leave. That's where we're going. That's where the train's going. Don't try to change the direction of the train. That's where we are going. And we need some help. We desperately need the help of the body to accomplish this. That's what we need. So, our next is... let me talk a little bit more about conversation. Okay, can I do another little more review before I move on? We looked at this idea, not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. That means it's with God, reliance, and power when we speak, even in conversation. And we don't hijack conversations to share the gospel. We're not used car salesmen. We love people, and when we are in relationship with people, the gospel is going to spill out over time, at the appropriate time, led by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit. We don't hijack conversations so we can just get the four spiritual laws out there on the table. Oh, okay, I'm relieved of that. I shared the gospel. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You shared some facts. You didn't share the gospel, the love of Christ with them, the only way to God. You didn't share that until you've loved somebody. So, conversation is a part of this, to care enough about another person to talk to them and to listen. And we actually did some really practical things. We talked about some rules of conversation. Quickly. Number one, be honest and open about yourself. Let people know who you are, but stay off your soapbox. Remember? The political, the calls, the whatever, you know. Be open and honest about yourself. Let people know you. Take a sincere interest in the other person. Ask questions and listen. Basic rules of conversation. With this kind of openness, and conversation, trust is established, and you find some common ground, and then you're making progress. Sounds costly, doesn't it? What a shock. Number six, life pattern. Having partners and co-laborers. And I've got to tell you, we're going to read a lot of verses today. My preparation has been lousy this week. This is such an important topic to me, but I've not got it together very well. But I have lived it. I understand it in my heart. I know the benefit that it's been to me. If you do not have partnerships and friendships like we're going to talk about today, you're not growing the way you could be growing. I'm not saying you're not a believer, but you're not growing the way you could be growing. I know I've shared this. It comes out of me all the time, and this is nothing new to you. But the friendships and partnerships and co-laboring that I've experienced, I can't think, except for God's Word and prayer, I cannot think of anything else that has helped me to grow, like partners, people that are willing to give you the good and the bad. So this is going to be somewhat challenging to some of you, and it doesn't come natural. Where we're going really doesn't come natural to anybody, but I understand that relationships come easier to some people than others. We're going to talk about circles of influence. Some people have more, so they can just handle personality-wise. They can handle more, and they need to be doing more if they can handle more. But still, this is not easy for any of us. It doesn't come natural. Yet I find this is inherent in living for Christ. What we're going to talk about today, yet it is the missing ingredient in most ministries. This idea, true partnership, co-laboring, is the missing ingredient in most ministries that I have looked at and examined. Yet, it's inherent. We are called the body of Christ. We go just really quick. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. So, He is the head, we are the body. This is the way we know, we've seen this example over and over again. It's inherent to being a believer that you work in conjunction, in unity, in co-laboring, and in partnership to do what God has called you to do. It is just in the fabric of being a believer. It is a necessary component. It's absolutely necessary. Yet, it is missing. In most churches and most ministries, it's only surface. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament. Do you see that? There's ligaments, there's fingers, there's hands, there's mouths, there's nose. It's held together. One part cannot function apart from the rest, cannot do its job, cannot perform apart from the rest. Grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So, in a general way, this is inherent to what we are called to do. And, you know, I want to be careful when we're talking about this. Because I could talk in such a way this morning that would make friendship for the sake of friendship seem attractive. And that is, the world can enjoy friendship and enjoy the benefits of friendship. And there are some of the same elements. But it does not, the world's friendships do not have the same mission-changing, eternal-shaking impact that partnerships and co-laboring has. The impact is untold. We will not know in this life the impact that partnering together, co-laboring together, being the body, we will not know the impact until we get to eternity. Now, I can't, as we go through this, I cannot draw clear lines between discipleship, friendship, partnership. I can't draw clear lines. There are not clear lines to be drawn. they blend and fold over one another. And that, I know this only works well over the long haul if all parties involved are moving towards living their lives fully for God and for the sake of the call. Partnership does not work. Friendship in the body, working together, it does not work the way it's intended to work unless all parties involved are seeking God with their whole heart and living for the sake of the call. So we looked at last week at how conversation is a part of this and how one thing builds upon the other. Conversation sometimes doesn't always lead to friendship. Friendship sometimes doesn't always lead to someone believing and coming to salvation. And that sometimes leads to partnership and co-laboring. You see, these things all work together. The one that you're sharing the gospel with today may soon, before you know it, become your partner and co-laborer. I've experienced it many times. And they're spiritually equals. It can happen quickly. It's amazing. What was somebody that was in the world and you're sharing the gospel with, before you know it, they're laboring alongside of you. Whoa. That's an awesome thing. That is an awesome thing. But it doesn't always happen like that. It happens at different rates. Sometimes you meet someone that's a believer, but they're stuck. They're stuck. They're not doing it. And the catalyst of co-laboring and friendship and partnership wakens them up to pursue God and to serve Him. So, let's take a quick look. One verse, I think, that gives a little flavor of what partnership is in the heart of it. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 8:16. I'll tell you, this is not a topic that says this section is like, it doesn't take this section of Scripture and it teaches on this. What it does, it teaches it from Genesis to Revelation. I have trouble reducing the number of verses that we use here. I've used mainly New Testament verses, a lot with Paul, some with Jesus, but we could start way from the beginning and we could learn about partnership and co-laboring, even from the Old Testament on. But let's look at this really quick. 2 Corinthians 8:16. I thank God who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. Okay, that verse may not impact you. That makes me want to jump up and down. I have this friend, Titus. And this friend loves you in the same way that I love you. And how do I love you? I love you with the love of Christ. Now you talk about partnership. We have the same cause, the same purpose, unity, but we're not folding in on each other. We're not focused on each other. But our relationship is soaring, but it's not inwardly focused. It's focused outward to do together what God has called us to do because God has put the same love in our heart. That is partnership. And we're willing to sacrifice and lay down our life for that love that we have for others. And we're doing it. Titus, he was a young guy. He was a fairly new believer. But he had the love in his heart, the same love that Paul had in his heart, a seasoned believer. And so he's talking about him like he's this equal partner because they have the love of Christ. They're going at it together for the same purpose and the same cause. Jesus' example. We could have a slew of verses on this. His life was a demonstration of disciple making. And there is a pattern there that we are commanded to follow. Let's look at this briefly. We're still on introduction here. John 13:15. So we're going to read a lot of verses today. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in front of you. Don't be afraid to use the table of contents if you don't know where things are. Some of these verses we read, we won't go into much. We won't teach in detail on the verses today. Basically because my studying was lousy. But see what God has. There's so much in these verses. When God speaks to you on a truth here that I may not bring out, jot it down, because we're just going to get the flavor of things today. Really, we're just going to try to get the flavor of it. John 13:15-17. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. man, do not skip over that. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth. No servant is greater than his master. If you are not investing your life in others, if you are not on the road to making disciples, do you know what that's implying according to that verse? Do you see it in there? That you're greater than your master. No servant. He served. He invested his life. He laid down his life. We are to follow his example. What does that say? If we are not willing to, if we do not take up this cause. No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Maybe you didn't know this before. Maybe you haven't been aware of this. Maybe you read the New Testament and you haven't seen this. But now you're seeing it. And there's a promise. There's a promise. You'll be blessed. You'll be blessed if you do these things. 14:12. John 14:12. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith, we quoted this verse earlier. Do you have faith? Would you say you're a person of faith? As you'll hear on the news every couple minutes. Are you a person of faith? If you are a person of faith, then this is what it'll look like. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do, take action, do, live, daily life. You will do as I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will give you whatever you ask in my name. That prayer is in context, and we've talked about this before. That is not just a blank check. That prayer is within context of disciple making. That is where the prayer, that's where that promise is given. Ephesians 5:1-2. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. Are you getting a flavor for what it looks like to live a life of love? Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now, I know we're still learning how to do this. I know that. I'm still learning how to do this. We as a church are not here. But I told you earlier, this is where we're headed. So, you may be sitting there and say, well, you're talking awfully big. I haven't really seen that. Well, this is where we're going. Help us get there. This is where we're moving. We're not claiming to be here yet. But we want to learn how to do this, and that's what we're doing. We must be moving, taking steps, and trusting God to guide us. If you leave, you walk out of here this morning, and you are a believer, and you don't have a determination in your heart to take steps to become a disciple maker, something is wrong. Something's wrong. Either I'm not telling you the truth, or you're not receiving the truth. So something's got to give. We're not both right. Something's wrong. If you don't go out of here with a desire in your heart to go and make disciples, then something's wrong with what we're doing, or something's wrong with where you are in your walk with God. If you're not willing to have partnership relationships and to make disciples, I don't see how you can legitimately say you're following Jesus, because that's where Jesus is taking you. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That still applies today. On your outline there, part one, a relationship. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4:16-17. Therefore I urge you to imitate me, Paul talking here. For this reason, I am sending you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. How did he know Paul's way of life? How did he know Paul's way of life? They were living life together. He saw how he lived. He received his teaching. He was not an independent, do his own thing. He was connected to Paul. He saw how he lived. Timothy had proven himself trustworthy. But this kind of relationship, do you see the love that Paul has for Timothy, the love that Timothy has for Paul? You see, there is a, and here what I warned you about friendship earlier. There is a level of friendship here that is unattainable in the world. There are good friendships in the world. I know that. But there's a level of friendship and partnership here. They share something that cannot be shared in the world. Now, if you are not willing, here's the thing. This requires something of you to get there. There's some things you have to lay down to even, there's some walls that have to come down. There's some surrender that has to take place. There's some openness. There's some things that have to take place in your life to even move towards this. So do not interpret, I'm not getting on to you for not having this. I'm getting on to you for not taking steps to get it. Okay? This could possibly be new information. You haven't heard it like this ever before. Or maybe you're finally hearing it. It's just gone over your head before. If you are not willing to have patience with another person, to allow them mistakes of saying too much sometimes and not enough another time, if you're not willing to have patience with an individual's failures, then you need not apply for this job of disciple maker. If you're not willing to love people through their mistakes, now, at the same time, you patience with another person's failure, another person's slowness, yet spurring them on to radical obedience. You see, one doesn't work without the other. If all you have is patience and love, and you're not spurring them on to radical obedience, then the two must come go hand in hand. But it does require, if you're one of those people that has criticalness in your heart towards others, if you do that, raise your hand. Okay, a couple of you, I'm never critical. We all suffer from this. Don't think you are in a special category that you suffer with criticalness of others. You remember I gave you this example one time? It's like this concentric circles, like a bullseye, you know? And you're moving towards another person. I don't mean moving to just have your needs met and that kind of thing, but you're moving towards partnership and discipleship with another person, ministry. And you get close and you begin to see things that you are critical of. What do you do? All right, that's it. That's it. That's as close as we get. I saw some things I didn't like. It's as close as we get. Now, you know, there's a time to stop getting close to somebody. I fully acknowledge that. There's a time to move on down the road. There really is. And you got to have some discernment. That's why you have partners. They can help you with those things. But usually that's not the case. Usually we just become critical and we don't like what we see and we don't want to deal with another person's faults because we all have them. So generally, if you're a person that does not have a close or a few close partnerships, a circle around you, this may very well be your issue. You may just have a critical heart. And you're not willing to accept other people. But they're slow, just like you're slow, in obedience and growth. And this has to be a part of disciple making. It has to be a part. You have to be willing to love another person through their mistakes toward. Like I said, there's sometimes when you have to have discernment to say, okay, this person is doing more damage than good. And if I connect with them and bring them in the body, they're going to tear things up. So I have to have some discernment. I have to have some wisdom to sit in just the blank thing. But usually that's not the case. Usually we just get critical of things that really we have the same issues. You must, though, be developing a life that's worthy of imitation or partnership does not work. There's a reason we studied 2 Peter first. Now, I didn't plan all that out, but there's a reason we studied 2 Peter first. It was about growth. You know, the men early on Friday morning, and we're studying qualifying as an elder and all those things and growing and having our character changed and growing in our closeness and obedience and those things. We went through all those things, 2 Peter, and with the men. If we're not growing in those things, then partnership does not work. We have to be living a life that's worthy of imitation. Paul said, imitate me. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to be perfect before you say that. I'm running after God, though, you know. I'm running after God, and He reveals I'm willing to hear, and I'm in the Word, and I'm praying, and I'm making mistakes, and yeah, and I said the wrong thing. I'm sorry, but I'm running after God. I'm responding to the call. I'm growing. That makes me a candidate to say, follow me. Follow me and help me. Follow me and help me. Let's go together. Partnership. That is how it works. Let's go to some other verses here. Philippians 2, 19 to 24. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me, and I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. There it is again, this, that heartfelt description of partnership and co-laboring. And then he goes on. There's another fella, Epaphroditus. And I think it necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus. Listen to his description of Epaphroditus. Don't you want somebody to describe you like this? He sounds a little giddy over Epaphroditus. Look at what he says. That would have been enough. My brother. My brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier. Man, he is my partner. He is my friend. I love this guy. And he's coming to you. It's just as good as me coming. He's going to share everything with you. He's going to teach everything I taught. I love this guy. Yeah. He's just overflowing for him. Who is also your messenger, who you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. You see, Epaphroditus, part of their partnership was not that Epaphroditus was all crazy about Paul and admired him and put him on a pedestal. That was not it. It's because Epaphroditus loved the body. He cared for the lost. He cared for the church. And Paul said, yeah, that's what I want. Let's go. I feel the same way. I have the same. It's not, oh, Paul, you're great. I'm going to follow you everywhere. That was not it. Those were not the men that he chose to be his partners. It was ones that had the same heart, the same love of Christ, the same concern for the lost, and the same concern for the church. For he longs for all of you in his distress because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. These were not official professor-student relationships. It does not sound like that at all. That's not the way it was. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. More verses. 1 Thessalonians 3, 2 through 3. I'm not making this stuff up. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ. That excites me. Paul's not out there being a lone ranger doing this by himself by any stretch of the imagination. He is my co-worker, my brother, and spreading the gospel of Christ. Who is your brother and your co-worker in spreading the gospel of Christ? Who is that? Let's move towards it. To strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials, for you know quite well you are destined for them. 2 Timothy 1, 1 through 4. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son. There's a lot there. Timothy, my dear son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. That's not just official. That's not just official business partners there. 2 Timothy 1:13-14. What you have heard from me, he's saying to Timothy, what you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Paul invested his life into Timothy. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Now, you know what? I've got a bit more to go here. I'm thinking we're going to finish this up next week. But that's good. It gives us another... I want to read this. I'm going to skip ahead and read this quote that I like. I think it made it into your outline there. And we'll talk about this some more, how we develop circles of partners. We belong to more than one circle of partners, but we should have some circles of close, dear people. And you know, I am not talking about people that it's the... it's just this, well, how are you doing? Oh, no, how are you really doing? Let's talk some more about you. No, let's talk some more about me. Yeah, that happens from time to time. But that's not what these friendships, this love and full of joy relationships that we see described here. And this is a quote. We'll discuss this more next week, but it's about small groups of partners and co-laborers, brothers and sisters like family that we develop who will encourage and support, but not become inwardly focused. And this is the quote from Andy Crouch. Those who will lovingly fuel your dreams and puncture your illusions. You need somebody to puncture your illusions. You have some blinders on. You get some honesty in your life, you're going to be shocked at the blinders you have on. And I have them too. There's got to be people in your life that are saying, go get them, man. You can do this. You know, this church was formed out of a little tiny group, co-laborers, partners, sharing. Just even the vision and the dream came out of that. Not one person. You have blinders on. You know, you're doing things in your marriage, with your kids, in your work, in your gospel sharing, and you're not gospel sharing that you don't even see. You have dreams. Somebody needs to encourage you to do those dreams. Push you to take some risk to serve God. You need people like that in your life. You need people that will puncture the illusions too. You know? Because we fool ourselves. We are experts at it. We need to have partners. Co-laborers in this thing. Or it does not work. Because this is the design. This is the design. So I hope that you will, and particularly after next week, that my thought was that we would get through today, but that you will communicate if you have questions on what steps you need to take next and how you need to obey, that you'll communicate, you'll ask. Because we've got to move. Is the gospel going to be shared? You see, we don't have billboards, we don't have a stadium. That's not how we're going to be sharing the gospel. We don't have a TV station. You guys, this is where it comes from. This is where it comes from. And so we do it together. And this, there's a plan. There's a plan in how this works. It's not my plan. So if you don't understand it, if you don't know the next step to take, then you need to ask some questions and understand what the next step is.